even as Massachusetts becomes more diverse, one long-term problem, segregated public schools, appears to not be going away. A report published this week found that at nearly 200 schools, students of color make up more than 90% of the enrollment. WBUR's Max Larkin joins us to talk about this. Hi there, Max.
Hi, Deb.
So what does this report find?
Well, I think first we want to get our head around one idea, and that's the idea of intense segregation. So as the report's authors define it, that means 90% of students at a school are either white or are students of color. And with that in mind, you get a kind of a mixed picture. The number of intensely segregated white schools, that has collapsed since 2008, and that's largely a function of changing demographics. So back in 2008, there were 619 intensely segregated white schools in the state. Now there are just 173. So if your child was assigned to a Massachusetts public school at random today, the odds that that school would be in some way diverse are up considerably. But of course, you aren't assigned to a school at random. And if you're a Black or Latino family in Boston, for example, this report says, there's a growing likelihood that your child will end up attending a school that is almost exclusively Black or Latino. There are 65 of those schools in Boston alone.
And what does the report say about the risks that come with that, Max?
Yeah, I think the report is more focused on just the hard numbers, who's in each given school. But there is a growing body of research that suggests that school diversity is a good thing basically in and of itself. You know, students who go to diverse schools might have better health outcomes, better careers, and certainly they're more likely to cultivate cross-racial friendships and to experience less sense of isolation. This report was written in part by Jack Schneider, a professor of education at UMass Lowell. Now, Schneider is a white man, and he takes pains to say, listen, it's not that white children have some magic effect on classmates of color. In fact, he says, white students seem to benefit as much, if not more, from diversity than any other group. But Schneider does say that this is a structural issue. You know, integration would help make sure that resources and advocacy are more fairly distributed everywhere.
White people historically have maintained a far firmer grip on political power and economic resources. And as long as children of color are in schools where there are white children, white families, in advocating for their own kids, will also be advocating for other people's children.
Then the flip side, I guess, would be that at predominantly Black and Latino schools, there can be a sense of isolation, that this more powerful group, often with the resources to enroll elsewhere or to move, that they did just that.
Max, of course, the history, especially in Boston, of racism, busing, this has had an effect on communities. But what is causing this intense segregation to continue?
I think that's a big question, and I think we'd be foolish to assume that we've moved so far beyond the racist backlash of the 1970s and the white flight into suburbs that followed. And yet, this report points to polls that suggest that attitudes really have changed and that diversity seems like a positive thing to all kinds of families today. But there's a problem. In the aggregate, test scores still tend to track pretty closely with race. And so as the state evaluates schools, largely based on test scores, there's still this perception among parents that white schools are good schools and that Black and Latino schools, even racially mixed schools, tend to be worse. Peter Piazza is an education researcher and another co-author, and he says that's because our notion of school quality has become so impoverished. He pointed to an effort to integrate schools in Los Angeles and what white parents discovered after they did just that.
What we gained was bigger than we could have ever imagined before we got there in terms of our child's knowledge of the world outside of a more segregated white culture.
To that end, Deb, Piazza and Schneider's goal is to get the state to reassess what makes a school good, to give it points for having a diverse student body, for example, and thereby kind of to realign the market.
And that would lead to more integrated schools? Is that what they're saying?
I think it might help. But for now, this state, I think, would have to cross the lines between districts, between cities and suburbs with their differences of property taxes and home values, if we wanted to really make a change. And that's proven really hard to do. The report's authors do call for a renewed commitment to METCO and programs like it. But this week, Deb, marks the 46th anniversary of Milliken versus Bradley, and that was the Supreme Court decision that made it so hard to do district-to-district busing in the spirit of school integration. This may not be a place where many elected officials want to go, even these many years later. They might be worried, I think with good reason, that the third rail of integration still carries the same kind of electric charge it had a half century ago. But then there's still this idea from Thurgood Marshall's dissent in the Milliken case that a diverse nation that wants to, quote, learn to live together has to find a way to learn together first. And I think if that's a priority for families or for the country's future, then people in power would have to work to make that happen.
WBUR's Max Larkin, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Deb.